Hey guys, welcome to the Parody Podcast Show, hosted by me, Rachel Evans, aka the Human Barbie, and Margot Robbie Barbie lookalike. So let's get right into it. We are in January 2024, and today is going to be the second episode of Season 4. Season 4 is all about my gym workouts, diet, nutrition, skincare secrets, anti-aging for the face and body. And in today's episode 2 of this new season launch for January 2024, we are going to look at my gym session yesterday and today. And then we're going to talk in the second half, general chit-chat banter, as if you're with me, having a chat about my lifestyle and ideas about my diet, training, nutrition, where I am right now, so that you've got like a monthly update, a weekly update, in fact, or episodic update of where I am, where my mind is as well. So we're going to help you with any struggles that you've got doing your workouts. So we are in January 2024. Most people hit the gym. It's like new year, new me. This is not what the podcast is about, guys. So I'm going to take you through a few things about what I did at the gym yesterday, my mindset, because I want you to know that anti-aging for me, my anti-aging secrets as the Human Barbie, or just as a woman, are all about having the mind being very strong to allow yourself to age in reverse. So for some people that will be relatable, for other people it won't be. But I think that if you have a young mindset, you will always, always improve. If you're into self-improvement, you get the vibe, you get my vibe. Some people find it, you know, a little bit off-putting if you're overly positive. And I know that there's this thing called toxic positivity. That's not me. I'm positive in an inspirational manner and I keep it real. So I just want you guys to be inspired in today's episode and have motivation and hopefully hook your interest so that you can subscribe, like, and follow me on Instagram, subscribe, like, and follow the podcast, mainly the podcast, because I'm targeting the over 35 age group. So it's going to be over 35. I'm not going to be putting over 50s, over 40s, or anything like that. I'm just going to target all of the age groups. However, I want to speak to fellow women who are over 35 because that's my thing. I've been in the press as a bikini model champion at the age of 43. I've competed on stage 4 years in a row and 11 shows and 4 years of hitting the gym hard, diet, nutrition, training. It took its toll on my face. And then I took a break from the fitness industry to do my Barbie face, get that sorted. I just came off the diet and everything. And you guys have seen my weight fluctuate. I never go above, I think, 56, 57 kilos. And my normal target weight is about 55 kilos, 55 and a half, maybe 56. But to be fair, I think my stage weight was 55 kilos and 55.5 was my stage weight roughly when I won. So hopefully I'm going to increase muscle density, muscle mass. I'm going to lose body fat off my belly. You can't spot reduce fat. So here we go. We're going to talk about that later, general chit chat. But let me get specific about my gym workout yesterday. So yesterday I went to the gym, parked my car. It was lovely and got a really good workout on my lower body and my upper. Now, here's the thing. My mindset was this: get into the gym, because I haven't been there for a while. I've been training at home all throughout December, because I started my diet, nutrition and training in early December. It takes a week to come off the sugar, maybe two. It takes a week or two to get my bloating down. You lose water weight when you're dieting. You don't lose body fat that quickly. But with me, my body, I do intermittent fasting anyway on an average day. So I start my meals. I'm roughly eating at about 12:30. I don't have breakfast. Ugh, I can't do that. So in the morning, I have coffee. We'll come to that later. So what I do is I got to the gym yesterday and I thought I'm going to hit those four machines for my glutes, hams, quads, and for my lower body, obviously. And then I was like sitting on the machines and I saw how empty the gym was. And I'm like, oh my God, I am so interested in getting on those machines over there. So I did my back. I obviously back and biceps, because those two muscle groups go together for training. I focus in on my back, lat pull down, one arm row. So I just thought, just do a little bit to activate the muscles. So I did a full body workout. And this morning I've hit my biceps. I've isolated the biceps. So my training will come to you later, because I change it up depending on how strong I feel on the day, but I do have a rhythm. And today was a good day because I went a bit heavier for my bicep curls and I did it at home. Obviously, I've popped into my studio here at home and I'm recording this podcast. So what I want to share with you again, is your mindset, going back to what we talked about in the opening of this podcast today. If you have a focused mindset and you write everything down, all right, I've got like six of these. You write things down, you tell the universe what you want to do. It's like having a mood board or a vision board. Your mind usually will follow through what you write down. So write down your goals, even if it's try to get to the gym to do a bit of cardio, or get into the gym to sit on the machines and figure out how they work. Get a trainer if you need that. But obviously, as a disclaimer, don't do anything I say here on gym, diet, nutrition, unless you seek the professional advice, because we're all different, aren't we? So I'm telling you my experience. I always have to put a disclaimer in there. So I was at the gym and I sat on those machines and I thought, my God, this is great, because it's new year, new me. Everyone's at the gym, but in my gym, it was empty. There's about four people in there and it's open 24/7. It's a great gym. I won't give you my location because I don't really want stalkers. Everyone there is really kind of into their gym because it's a basic gym. I used to be a member of a bigger gym. I'm not saying the name because I don't want to give away free advertisement or anything, but I used to be a member of a bigger gym years ago when I was a bikini athlete, because I literally lived half the day in the gym. I was working as a mom, I was doing the school run, and I was juggling my work schedule every day. I'd have things to do and then I'd be like, God, I've got to go to the gym. So my point of mentioning that I used to be a member of a bigger gym was that I used to use the spa to recover. I'd go in the steam and sauna, and it was part of the ritual, so that if I was in agony training, which most days I was because I was a competitive bikini athlete, what I'd do is I'd go, come on, you're only half an hour away from going in the steam and sauna, so you feel the heat in the muscles and it helps aid recovery and make you feel better. But obviously when you go for a steam and sauna, that's like the beauty spa side of training. Now I don't have that. I just go to a hardcore spit and sawdust gym, open 24/7, so I can go any time of the morning, day or night, and usually get onto the machines. Because to be fair, a lot of people who do work out, they do want the spa and the sauna and the swimming. I don't swim because I don't want my blonde hair to go green. But what I'm saying is this: if you can join a gym that's even 24/7 and it's cheaper as well, you're going to go in there, hit the gym and go home, or go to work, you know, depending on what time of the day you do your workouts. And sometimes it just works for me right now. Obviously, sometimes I do wish that I could go in the steam and sauna, and I'll do that. You know, I can pay a daily rate to go to the same gym where I live locally and do a spa day. And it's probably about £15. It's not a lot of money. But to be honest, I'd rather just use the gym for the gym rather than as a spa. And it just works for me because I've got my home studio and I'm filming and recording podcasts and I'm researching and studying. I do geeky kind of studying. And I love to study as much as I can now on skincare, which is part of the anti-aging for this podcast. So that was just a bit of general chit chat thrown in, because you might be thinking, oh, she's talking about going to the gym. But, you know, if you haven't joined a gym, I do recommend joining a very basic gym where it might be open 24/7. So you've got more of a chance to go. Say if you've got a busy day and you want to go in the evening late, then you don't have to worry about what time the gym's closing or the peak times. Do you know what I mean? Because a 24/7 gym for me is just get in, do the work. That's it. Basic, and get out. Done. Anyway, so that leaves me coming on to point two. So point one is about the mindset to get into the gym. So join a gym, figure it out as you go along. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to feel demotivated. Now, the point number two is what you do when you're in the gym. When you're in the gym, you're going to feel a shock to the system. You're going to feel a bit confused, disorientated, because it's not part of a daily routine. You might even be intimidated. Do not get gym intimidation. Talk to people, be friendly if that's your thing. I don't talk to people because when I'm in the gym, I've got my headphones on. I'm on a mission. Once that machine's available, I get onto the legs machines and I'm in the zone and I do supersets. So that's my routine. But if you want to have a chat with people or look at them and smile and be friendly, even make new friends, obviously not all in one day, guys. But yeah, do whatever makes you happy. Be yourself in the gym and don't feel worried about asking people to show you the ropes. Now, a lot of gyms will, when you join a gym, offer to do a free personal training session or show you around the gym. So you might have a gym induction day for health and safety. They've got to do that legally anyway, but it's also to help you feel that you've got someone to talk to as well. I do my own training because I used to have a coach when I was a competitive bikini athlete. So I do recommend this if you are joining a gym and you're in the gym, because one point number two, what to do in the gym when you're there for your first day or first over the first week even or month. On the first day in the gym, don't be afraid to ask the trainers or the gym manager, whoever's there, for help. Even if it's just like, can you show me how to use this machine? They'll help you. They're very friendly. They're there to motivate and inspire you and help you retain your gym membership and obviously give good reviews even. So yesterday I was at the gym, and I'm a veteran in the gym, but one of the machines was a bit stuck and I thought, oh, I can do it myself. I was doing the back and bicep machine. It was the row, and something was jammed. So I went to the girl, she was hoovering. It's very clean, the gym. And she came over and showed me, and she went boom. And I was like, oh, did I do something wrong? She said, no, just heavier. Just need to whack it in. I was like, okay, thank you. And she went, have a good session. And that moment she said to me, have a good session. That was it. I was like, yes, this is what it's all about. It's about the friendly gestures that people give, whether it's a gym member, a fellow gym goer, or whether it's a member of staff. The members of staff are paid to inspire and motivate you and make you feel less intimidated about being in the gym. They keep an eye on people for health and safety anyway. So if you see them look at you, it's because they're watching out for you, and they'll come over and help you usually. So the great thing, so we're still on point two about what to do when you're in the gym. Don't be afraid to ask for help, and you'll be happily inspired, because I was yesterday. Just a friendly gesture. That was lovely. And then because she made eye contact with me, came over and helped me to show me how to put the pin in the machine, because the weights was something was jammed. When I left the gym, they were two of them, the manager and this young lady who was at the gym. I said, thank you guys. I'm on my gym routine now for New Year. I'll see you more often. And the manager sort of looked at me, because I've spoken to him a lot of times before. I feel that sometimes, like, yeah, everyone says that. January, everyone's in the gym. But obviously he knows that I was a bikini athlete. So he just smiled. And he's probably thinking, why is she saying thank you? I didn't help her. But the point is this, be friendly. Don't worry how people receive it. But the girl was like, yeah, I'm glad you had a good session. See you again soon. And that was it. And I felt great walking down the stairs. I nearly tripped, because what happened, be careful when you do your workouts as well. Let's come to point number three, safety in the gym. Safety in the gym is very important. So start your weights light and work your way up. Do not go in heavy. It's not what it's about, guys. You know, even The Rock, he said he does in the past, he goes low to medium weights, but supersets. So go light and just do more reps and more sets, but definitely listen to your body. So I will curl. I'll use 3 kilo weights because I'm small. And today, which we'll come to later in the chit chat, I went heavier. I went to 5 kilos for my bicep curls because I didn't feel stronger to lift that literally in December. So it's taken me 4 weeks roughly to build, about 4 weeks to lift 2 kilos heavier. And believe me, it was hard. I actually had to reduce my reps to 8 instead of 12. So I thought, okay, if you go heavier, you can reduce the reps. So I'll do. So lift only what you know is right for your body. If you listen to your body, you don't want to risk any injury, but also start low. Start on the lowest weight. It doesn't matter if you're doing 1, 2, 3 kilos. Most people probably would start at 3 kilos, I think, because that's really light. And engage and activate the muscles in the first few weeks of your training program. And then you can seriously start to do the 5-day split, or just keep going full body, lower body with rest days in between. We'll talk in a little bit of the chit chat later about my gym routine and how it's going to adapt over January, February, and March. So because I'm on a 3-month training plan, 12-week training plan. So we just covered health and safety about lifting. Only lift what you know you can lift and ask for help if you need it. Good form. Number four, good form. Okay, what does this mean? When you're in the gym, look at gym videos. I still to this day have to keep my form in check because I've got like a wobbly kind of, I used to have one hip out of alignment and I was in therapy for it. Oh my goodness, the pain. Anyway, I've had sports injuries over the years, but because I was in a car crash accident many years ago, and that just pulled one of my discs out, and it was just awful agony pain, which is another reason why I was out of the fitness industry, because I couldn't train for a long time. Anyway, so let's go to point number four. When you're in the gym and you're lifting, making sure that you are doing the right kind of weight for your body. So if you're in the gym and you feel like other people are using good form, don't stare at them. because that's not gym etiquette. But if you see someone that inspires you, just sort of think, yeah, I'll get there one day, but don't be intimidated. I would go and watch YouTube videos of correct form for lifting. So bicep curls, shoulder, back, biceps, shoulders, glutes, hams, all of the moves that you do in the gym. Find a video on YouTube so that you know the correct form, like tucking your elbows in on when you're doing bicep curls. So that's point number four, good form. Go for good form, watch your gym videos and learn how to lift properly and safely as well. Okay, point number five. Gym kit. Okay, so I mentioned in a previous podcast that I'm going to invest in gym kits because I can't find clothes to fit me. So I used to wear gym kits all the time, literally. And then we'd joke in the fitness industry that my wardrobe is 99.9% gym clothes because our fitness bodies can't find regular clothes to fit. And most people in modern daily lives do not want to spend a fortune on expensive designer wear, which people are going to see it and then they're going to be like, oh, she's wearing that again. No, we want things that we can wear and throw away or just relegate to the back of our wardrobe each season. So I can't find clothes to fit me. So my gym kit is Victoria's Secret small leggings. They're the gym ones. They look a little bit sexy because you've got to wear a G-string with it. And I'm like, sometimes I feel like under certain lights, you look a bit half naked, no matter what you're wearing. So I've got the thick ones, not the thin ones. Or I go to Primark and I get the black leggings. They're satin and they've got boot cut flare. So they look smart. I don't think it's appropriate to wear something too sexy in the gym because, you know, it's okay if you're in your 20s and stuff. But even then, when you see the bum kind of, what are they called again? Bum enhancer leggings. I still think they just look a bit tacky. They do. They look a bit tacky because you're literally showing, no matter how good your body is, it's still sexy. And it just, I find it off-putting if I see someone in the gym like that, because all of a sudden, the first thing you see is not their good body. You think, oh my God, their bum, you can see their bum sticking out. And I've learned that. I mean, I think I used to do that. And when you do squats, you've got to wear squat proof leggings. And now, like, I know there's a brand called Buff Bunny and she's just got married to her fiance and they're in the gym all the time and they're in the fitness industry. And she used to compete as a bikini athlete, Heidi Summers. She's great. I think she's in her early 30s. I'm not sure. Anyway, so she does like squat proof leggings, but even then some of her leggings are so sexy. I'm like, do you know what? I'd wear a long t-shirt to cover the bum, because I just don't want to attract that kind of attention in the gym. And I do. So when I was a competitive bikini athlete, I learned how to buy the right gym clothes. And even now I'm going back to that mindset. So we're on to point number six, gym etiquette and feeling motivated. Gym etiquette, you can be friendly. Like I said, in the opening of the parody podcast show, you can be friendly, but the gym etiquette is don't sort of look at people too much or try and catch their eyes because they're in the zone. So they're in the zone. If you have trained as a bikini athlete like me and competed on stage, what happens is when you're in the zone, I used to wear a cap to cover my eyes so people couldn't look at me and say hello and engage, because I was very popular and I still am. I get recognized all the time when I go out, and to the point of if I need to go home safely and I'm walking down the road, like from the train station to my house and I'm not in my car, it's literally a 5 minute, 10 minute, whatever. It depends on the station because I use different stations, but I need to cover my hair because I don't want to attract attention in the dark. I need to get home safe. So the thing is this, if you're in the gym etiquette is, do not engage with people if you know that they're lifting heavy, because number one, they're in pain. Number two, they're wondering why you're looking at them. And number three, they're not there to make friends, influence people, or even attract a mate. Do you know what I mean? So you might see some gorgeous looking people, but please don't stare, because I used to have that. Even now, somebody will look at me and look away because the gym etiquette is leave her alone. Thank you. Amen. Anyway, so remember, it's not a social event. Unless you have got regular friends and you engage with them, and then after you say, see you in a bit, enjoy your workout, you cut off from them and then you're in the zone. Remember, the key phrase is in the zone. Put your music on, make it look like you're not there, but you're in that training capacity in your head, your mindset. Again, remember, we're doing the mindset focus for the gym today as well. So the next point, I can't remember which one we're on. Is it six or seven? Let's say it's number seven. I've got three more points to make anyway. So that was gym etiquette. Now, number seven is what to do after you work out. Okay, health and safety, number one. If you've just done a massive leg workout or you've just done cardio and you're tired, take a minute or two to just sort of let your body calm down, your heart rate to go down a bit. And be careful if you're going downstairs, because all the time, most gyms have got stairs. And yesterday, like I said earlier in the podcast yesterday, I nearly tripped down the stairs because I'm wearing these pink trainers with very thick soles. Now, I have had accidents in the past wearing trainers that they were kind of wide. You know that chunky trainer? So I've got Adidas slim ones. I think they're called Adidas Run Falcon. They're very good. They're very light, but I only wear them sort of when I'm indoors. They're my indoor trainers, but the ones on the street are thicker. But because I wasn't used to wearing them because I live in my Uggs, I nearly fell down the stairs. I'm like, oh my God. So after I said goodbye to the trainer in the gym, I was like, I nearly tripped. I was like, oh my God, no, two flights of stairs. Don't want to do that. Anyway, so I also want to say that last year or the year before, I can't remember. Goodness gracious me. I did break my foot, my fifth metatarsal. Do you know what I mean? No, but I was so I felt vulnerable. But anyway, we'll talk about that in another podcast. But I did recover. But after, a certain period of time, I was wearing a cast. I just carried on because I'm hardcore. So after training, you relax for a bit and then you go home. Then I sit down in the foyer on the sofa and I'll do a little vlog. Hey guys, I've just done my video, training, da, 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 da. Now, brain mush. You can see it. It's happening to me now because I've just finished working out before I did the podcast today and I did a massive session yesterday. So your brain will be mushy. Forgive yourself for taking 5 or 10 minutes just to recalibrate your brain and just take a deep breath and don't jump straight. You know, you're hyper and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're all on the high because you've done your training or you're exhausted. Get in your car safely, walk safely. Remember, you've just done a massive workout. Your body for the first week or two or month will be in a state of shock because you're shocking those muscles. You're activating the muscles. And your brain is adjusting to this. Oh my God, the body's under stress. What do I do? So it'll start shutting down on you. And all of a sudden you can't remember where to park my car. Oh my God, what time is it? Or what day is it? Or even what am I talking about? So that's what happened when I was a bikini athlete. It's a joke in the fitness industry when your brain goes to mush and you're 2 weeks out from getting on stage. You can't remember literally what you're doing. Literally. Okay, so that was point number 7. Be very safe when you leave the gym and you're going home. And allow your body a 5 or 10 minutes to sort of recalibrate after a heavy session in the gym because your brain will be a bit mushy. Point number 8. Okay, so the diet. Remember, I'm doing coming off coffee in the day. I have it to wake up in the morning. And this is sort of mid-morning. I have another coffee because I need my brain to work, function even, to think after doing a workout. So your diet and nutrition. Part of the gym training mindset, which is what we're talking about today, is diet. Slowly delete sugar or coffee or anything you want to get rid of, like lower the carbs slowly. If you go cold turkey, which is what I do because I'm good at it and I know what I'm doing, your body will go into shock. But it's not a fad diet. I literally know how to carb cycle and cut the carbs throughout the training program at the beginning. Or look online. Obviously, when people Google stuff, you've got to know what's right for your body and your weight and all of that. So I do the protein, carbs and fats ratios. Which are called your macros. So get someone to work out your macros at the beginning of your training. I really do recommend for the first 2 weeks, instead of going cold turkey, introduce your diet and cutting out the crap. Introduce that in the first 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks of your training program, because you want to be strong when you're training. You don't want to be weak. Your body's already going to go into shock anyway, because it's like, oh my God, I'm working out. But at the end of the day, really think hard about how much sugar you're taking, how much protein you need to build muscle. But you want to cut out the crap out of your diet. So I've cut sugar and I woke up in the middle of the night because this is hormonal, guys, and I'll crave chocolate. So I'll have a few Maltesers. I might make a cup of tea and I'm half asleep and then I go back to sleep, clean my teeth. I still remember to clean my teeth because I hate sugar in my mouth. And then I felt so sick. I'm like, why did I do it? So I've literally been cutting sugar for 4 weeks and I've gone to the point now where instead of getting a buzz and feeling, yeah, I'm like, I feel ill if I eat sugar. So I have to reduce over 4 weeks the sugar content at different times of the day. And so I recommend the diet and nutrition for the first 4 weeks. Go easy on yourself. Yeah. If you can't go cold turkey and cut the sugar out or cut the carbs, you need to know from a healthcare professional what diet suits your body shape and your weight and your target for your gym and diet and training program, because you need to be really strong about that. So point number 10, what I recommend doing is when you're on the nutrition, work out your macros, protein, carbs, and fats. Now, I'm on a moderate protein, moderate fat, low carb. I used to be on a high carb, low protein, low fat. It depends on what part of the carb cycling I'm doing, but right now it's super low carb. So I'll have a small bowl of rice. It's about 100 grams of rice. It's a lot, but it's only the one meal of the day where I have my carbs. And then I'll have protein. I'll have egg protein. Sometimes I do meat, but I'm not really a big carnivore, but I'm going to talk about that in another podcast. I need to reintroduce meat to my diet. Anyways, because I'm building muscle. So what I'll say is my macros, I'm working on that now. So we'll do another podcast about my macros because it's a very strict kind of scientific theory that I use, which my coach many, many years ago, Sarah Bridges, she used to write that for me. So it'd be chicken, broccoli, rice like three or four times a day, protein shake twice a day, or peanut butter on two rice cakes in the evening. So I'm going back to that, guys. So what I want to talk about, finalizing the first 10 points of the podcast before we go into more general chit chat, is this. On a general day, I will be intermittent fasting overnight. I know that I said I wake up probably 1 or 2 in the morning, or it might even be earlier, depends on what time I go to bed. I'll wake up a few hours after sleeping, which reminds me, am I in REM? Look into that another day. And then I'll crave something. So I used to have a banana, but that does not sit in my stomach overnight. And now I'm just having a handful of chocolate, go back to sleep. Anyway, because otherwise I'd never sleep. I try and fight it. You know, that thing that you do where you go, wait 5 minutes. And if you still want it, go and have it. And I'm like, no, I really need this because I can't go back to sleep. And my sleep is important. I need 8 hours at least. But so if you work out your protein, carbs and fats, get someone to do it for you. You can pay them a one-off fee or you can do it online even. But definitely look into that because your gym training is not the whole package. You need to sort out the diet. They say your diet is 70% of your bikini body, and the remainder, which is 30%, I had to slow down to work out the percentage there. I'm not great at numbers. The rest is the gym. Now, when you're on a building diet, your macros will change, or when you're on a fat loss diet, your macros will change. So if you go in there, most people want to lose a bit of body fat, right? And then they'll start toning up, which is what I did. December was drop the body fat, and then end of December to early January now, I will start maintaining muscle and building it. Yeah. Because when you're on that, I'm on a quite a strict nutrition and diet and training. My weight will plummet over 2 to 4 weeks, but then I don't want to start losing what little muscle I've got. So I'm now building a bit of muscle. So I'll increase my protein, lower the, keep the carbs moderate for training, and then lower them and then increase the protein and then keep the fats moderate. So if I'm on a super low carb, I will increase the fat because it's usually one or the other. Again, seek the advice of a healthcare professional if you want to know about your macros, protein, carbs and fats. So generally speaking, we can look at that later. So in winding up the first 10 points of this podcast about gym training, motivation for January, and a little bit touching on a few things like gym etiquette, how to stay focused in the gym when you're starting out, and then your diet and nutrition introduction, I'm ready now to move on to the chit-chat part, which is perfect. On my watch on this production, see, I can't even get my words out, on Riverside, which is where I record everything, I'm now on exactly 30 minutes. And if I cut anything out, you'd be like, hold on a minute, it's 28 minutes. She's cut 2 minutes out. Maybe I'll do that. Who knows? And it's not sponsored, by the way, but yeah, Riverside is amazing. So now we're going to go on to the general chit-chat of gym training, diet, nutrition. So back to the intro of the podcast, I want to talk about yesterday. So yesterday I was at the gym. I had a massive workout. It was so good. And I just want to say, if you're doing your 5-day split or you're doing 3 workouts a week, I do recommend starting on a 3-day full body workout a week and then just activate the muscles and get a feel for the gym. And then when you get more expert at doing your gym training, you can do a 5-day split, which on a Monday, generally I'll do back and biceps, Tuesday shoulders, especially the delts, and then Wednesday will be leg, glutes, hams, leg day Wednesday, and then Thursday would be, what would it be, cardio or rest, yeah, and then Friday I would hit, I think, the back and biceps again, or the shoulders, probably shoulders, because it depends what part of the training program I'm on. I'm hitting shoulders twice a week and I'm hitting glutes, lower body twice a week minimum, because I want to increase my shoulders and I want to tone up my biceps. So and obviously your back and your core. So I do the Ab King Pro for my core. I do it every day now just to activate the muscles. And then when I'm doing more training and getting more specific to grow muscle, you have to have a rest day in between. So as a general chit chat, remember the rest periods don't mean don't do anything. Just do your cardio on a rest day. So if you're doing the 5-day split and I've got one day, say I'm doing shoulders, I might just do my cardio that day. If it's in the gym, I'll try and do about 10,000 steps a day. However I do it, it doesn't matter if it's in a local area or at the gym. I usually do walking outdoors because I love outdoor walking. So I'll make every opportunity to walk a priority. And if I don't take the car, it's because I'm walking to get my steps in. Anyway, so whenever I'm in London for meetings, I'm always walking on foot, and it's really nice, but it's exhausting and it does add up. So get your cardio in on your rest days. But if you're doing a bit of cardio every day, I would say 5 or 10 minutes as a warm-up. So warm-ups are really important. Again, I didn't touch on that in the first half of this podcast. You must always do your warm-up, but I did say seek the advice of a healthcare professional or a trainer. So you've always got to warm up your muscles and warm down. So remember I was talking about having a 5 or 10 minute like warm down. I didn't use the phrase warm down, but what I mean is to help your brain recalibrate so that you don't fall over, because I'm pretty exhausted and I can hardly walk after a leg workout. And that's why I tripped over my own pink Barbie training shoes, because they're so wide. Okay, so warm up your body. Don't just jump into it. You know, do something at home if you want before you go to the gym, and just make sure that you're not sort of putting your muscles at risk of either overtraining or risking an injury, because you don't want that. You're just starting out. Remember, you're in January, you're starting out in your gym and diet and nutrition. You want everything to be brilliant so that you can continue to do it and feel good. The next thing that I'd like to talk about is your mindset and how my anti-aging secrets can help with your mindset. So remember what I said in the beginning of the podcast about thinking like you're young and you're fit and healthy. If you think young and you've got a positive mindset, it doesn't mean that other people are going to go, oh my God, she's been so positive. It's toxic positivity. No, it just means that you'll inspire people around you and you'll attract like-minded people, and you will repel the people who are like dissing you or giving you that look like, oh, here she goes again. Sometimes you've got to read the room. So if you're positive around people at work and you say to people, oh, I'm back in training, and they give you a look, remember, if they want to do what you're doing, you don't really want to bang on about it to them, because it won't motivate them or inspire them. So if you see someone give you a look, I'm good at reading the room, really good now. If they show a little bit of like, oh, I'll change the subject back to them and what they like, because I'm not there to give them free advice or motivate them or bang on about how great I feel because I'm training. Yawn, yawn. People, if they're not interested, will just zone out and switch off. So like I said, when you're in the gym, you don't want to win friends and influence people, but you are in the right place for meeting friends. But if you are around people who are not into it, you know, like the party crowd, I don't know anyone like that, to be fair, you're not going to be talking to them about how great you feel about having done your workout yesterday and you're really motivated to go to the gym tonight after work or whatever. So if you've got a regular working day and you're with people who are just not into it, don't talk to them about it, because it will demotivate you. Be with people who are like-minded, who want to know what your secret is for anti-aging, and share the general tips. Don't go into too much detail. I've learned that. I just say, oh, you know me, I have a bit of sugar when I want to, but you know, I don't go crazy. I'm not going to give them my macros of protein, carbs and fats and my sugar content, which has been completely reduced to almost nothing. I'm not going to give them diet and health fitness secrets for free, because it might not be the right time or environment to talk to people, especially if you're going about your working day. So you can stay motivated by keeping your secrets to yourself and being around like-minded people. Don't let people demotivate you, which brings us to the next point. If you're in the gym and you're on the diet and you're starting to feel a little bit demotivated, what do you do? So this is what I do. I recommend this. Watch a YouTube video. If you don't want to do that workout and you're doing a home workout like I did this morning, I'll put a lot of inspirational people who are doing the workout, and I'll do the workout with them on the YouTube, and it's for free. On the YouTube. That sounds so weird. It's like on the TikTok. It's TikTok or YouTube. So stay with like-minded people, and you will attract that more people like that into your life. You might lose friends as well, which brings me on to my next point. If you're going to lose friends, like the party crowd you just mentioned, they're not really your friends. They're friends as a friends group for activities that you share in common. And that's fine, because we're all different, guys. So if you really want to go and change your lifestyle, I would say you must reduce the temptation, which means you might lose friends who are into the party atmosphere. You might lose friends who are not interested in health and diet and nutrition. And you might lose friends who are not into anti-aging. You know, the ones who go, oh, you look better without lashes, but they actually don't want to see you looking glamorous because it puts them, makes them feel less insecure. This is reality, guys. I know people who are like that, but again, I'm lucky I'm in an industry in my work environments and I do multiple things where I'm around people who inspire, motivate me, and I inspire them. So I'm blessed. If I'm around people who, for example, don't wear makeup, women who don't wear makeup, and they're like, oh, you look so good without those fake lashes. I'm like, I give them a look. I'm like, well, I love my fake look. That's who I am. But, you know, sometimes people give you a backhanded compliment. Don't take it too seriously. It's just what works for them. But you can't please everyone. Please yourself. Do, if anything makes you feel good, do it. But don't do things just to please people. So if you're a people pleaser like I used to be, you want to be aware of this in your anti-aging mindset. Why? Some people will be into plastic surgery or cosmetic surgery, which is the injectable surgery without going under the knife. And some people will be into makeup or they will not. So I don't really know people who do that au natural look and that they've got wrinkles or they look like they're 53. Obviously, guys, I'm 53 years old, but don't tell anyone. I know I look younger. But you will attract the right people into your life. So when you're on this new health kick, your new fitness program and lifestyle of anti-aging, let's call it an anti-aging face and body lifestyle, yeah, you're going to make new friends and you're going to lose probably quite a lot along the way. So anti-aging for the face, this is my next point. When I was a competitive bikini athlete, you'll look at pictures online. If you Google Rachel Evans bikini athlete, you see my face looks terrible. Absolutely awful. Now there was one or two, so I did 11 shows roughly on stage over 4 years and I won one show. So I obviously didn't place in the other shows, but I was doing it to show the lifestyle and get on stage and show looking good for a woman in my 40s. But I won a show at 43, but my face looked awful. That when I was 43, what happens is this. When you're on the diet and nutrition, you'll lose fat volume in your face. And that's why I was mid 40s. I started doing a lot more of my Barbie face because I just looked, God, you look haggard, you look old, you look tired. And for me, I don't want to look tired. I want to look fresh and happy. Because even when you're tired, aging in your 40s and 50s, or even in your 30s, people go, are you okay? And I hate that. If someone goes, are you okay? Nobody says that to me now. They're like, you look good. What's your secret? And that's what I want. But you know something? When you work on your face and you're doing your diet and nutrition, it goes hand in hand for the anti-aging face and body. For me, it's OMG my Barbie body and OMG my Barbie face and body. So when I'm in the gym, if I look tired over 3 to 6 months, I'll lose weight in my face. Like you can see my nasos need to be done. They need to be like that. I'm leaving that for now because in March, I'll probably look at my face and go, what fat loss have I had in my face? What do I need to do to maintain my Barbie face? Because as everyone knows, I'm a human Barbie and the face should not really look tired. I don't want it to look tired. I do it for me anyway, whether I'm behind the camera or in front of the camera. I do it for me so I can look in the mirror and go, God, you look good, girl. Oh, yeah. So I will work on my face later this year, but right now I need to get my weight down, lose the belly fat, and of course you can't spot reduce fat. So my face will lose some of the fat pads and then I might have to do another thread lift to tighten my face because it'll sag. And I've had Aquilix in there because at certain angles you can see a baggy chin. Like I'm like, oh my god, bad angle. So if you put your posture's everything. I've got a jawline, but the moment you do that bad angle when you look at your phone, everyone's got the baggy chin. Anyway, so work on your face for anti-aging as well. So say you're in the gym now and you're just getting back into it and you're going to lose weight. In 3 months, your face will not generally look the same. You're probably going to lose weight. People go, oh my God, you've lost weight. Your cheekbones might look more prominent or you might look a bit more tired. You might lose volume in this fat pad, the malar fat pad, or your nasos might look a bit more saggy, whatever. It doesn't matter. Or your jawline might look less puffy or even tighter in some instances if you lose the fat. But I would say look at your face after 2 to 3 months of doing your diet and training program and even wait a bit longer because when you reach your target weight, and to be fair, I don't think there is such a thing as a target weight. There's a rough guide. So when I'm 55 kilos or 55.5, I know that if I go below 55.5, my face doesn't look so haggard. So when I'm 55.5 kilos, I look at my face and I see a dramatic difference. So I will be working on my skincare as well as the gym diet and nutrition. So I will in January be looking at the volume of my face, like the fat volume, if that's the right word, of how I'm losing weight in my face, because I'll need to correct that later. So anti-aging secrets are: have a great skincare routine when you're looking at your face and know what works for you. Do some research. Again, in a previous podcast, I think I've got to upload that next, I talk about using hyaluronic acid. I talk about using all of the serums, SPF for your face. I'm using CeraVe moisturizer with hyaluronic acid and ceramides in it and peptides, which brings me to the next thing about how your skin ages. So as we're finishing off the last quarter, I think it is, of the podcast, I'm going to just touch on anti-aging skincare tips. And I watched Dr. Stephanie Keppel. She's a dermatologist in California, and she talks about skincare and skincare on a cellular renewal basis and fibroblasts and things like that. And she talks about the use of active ingredients, which have a measurable impact on a cellular level, on a DNA level. So she looks at fibroblasts, which help collagen stimulation and renewal on a cellular level. And then you've got other things called melanocytes, which produce pigment, and peptides. So I'm just looking at my notes. So where do I start from? So skin, as we age, our skin gets thinner and we lose collagen. So we have less collagen. Therefore, we've got to repair the collagen. We need to produce more collagen. So the sun accelerates the loss of collagen. But then again, you do need the vitamins from the sun, don't you? But you need to wear SPF. So if you look at how the skin ages, you've got the loss of collagen and the skin sags. So through the aging process, we get older, our skin, you know, gravity pulls the face down, and we also lose collagen, which is in the dermal layers of the skin. We get discoloration, we get dehydration, dullness, roughness. So skin aging happens independently of structural aging in the facial tissues. So I'll go into more scientific detail later, but it was interesting. I was watching this after my workout last night when I was eating my din-dins, and I was like, oh my God. So the point is, you can control skin aging. Now, I have a treatment called PDO Threads, probably twice a year, sometimes once. They last about 6 to 8 months, and they help produce collagen on a cellular level. So when you have the threads inserted, it produces collagen straight away, and it tightens the skin and gives you the non-surgical facelift, which is what I've got. So that for me is my biggest anti-aging skincare secret. And I call it a skincare because I'm producing collagen from a cellular level on almost like a DNA basis, because by having less filler in my face, I'm not a fan of filler anymore. I think my cheeks used to be overfilled. I've still got some filler in my face from a couple of years ago. And you know, when you train, you break down filler. So it's like, why do it? So I do the thread lift, which is a non-surgical facelift, and it helps produce collagen, which is my skincare secret. I want to look good for my age, but I don't want to look like I'm trying to be too young or too tight. So even though my nasal labials are very prominent now, I still feel as an actress, it's okay to have that now. My goal in my 50s is to be the human Barbie, continue to do this till I'm 80, and also get acting work in commercials, TV, and reality documentaries. But I've done a lot of press in 2023, because thanks to the Barbie movie, and been in two more documentaries, a Channel 4 Snapchat one, which was called Stand Formations. It's on Snapchat for Channel 4 because they're all streaming now. Nobody watches terrestrial TV. So all of the TV companies, well, a lot of them are still behind the times, like E! Entertainment's gone now. And I was watching the Osbournes podcast, and it's like, my God, is content creation the thing of the future? Yeah, most people watch TV streaming or YouTube. And Ozzy Osbourne's so funny. I love Sharon Osbourne. She looks amazing for her age. And I hate that, actually. I shouldn't say for her age. Sharon Osbourne, I love you. You look beautiful. Anyway, so yeah, she's into, they're all into their podcast. And obviously you've got the two kids, Jack and, oh God, sorry, I can't remember the daughter's name. Oh my God, my brain. So so back to the facelift thing. I haven't gone onto the knife, but I probably will one day, because there's only a limit to how much anti-aging you can do structurally to the face. Now, what I was just talking about, you can control skin aging, but skin aging happens independently of structural aging in the facial tissues. Now, the structural part of my face, so I've got a bit of saggy here because my, as you get older, your jawline, you lose prominence because even a tiny bit of laxity, I think they call it, a bit of loose skin can loosen your jawline. So I did think of trying a bit of filler, but I had some threads in my neck to tighten those lines and to tighten my jawline. And I had a bit of Aqualix to dissolve some fat in my baggy chin. And it takes months for it to show the effects and results. So I'm finally showing the results of it. But I do it on a more natural level now. And even to the point of I don't overdo the surgery. I've stopped doing the filler. I'll have my lips done once a year. I might do my tear trough or my fat pads a little bit, maybe once every 2 years or once a year. I can't remember the last time I had it. I'll have to look at my notes. But yeah, I do the thread lift. So it's a non-surgical facelift once or twice a year. And it's more of once a year now because when I'm in training, when you've got the recovery, you can't take time off from the gym. So that's another thing. Your skincare should be when you're in the gym. Lots of hydration. There was one guy who drinks 3 liters of water. I can't remember his name. I'll talk about him in another podcast. And he basically said he has 3 liters of water a day. He's in his 60s and he looks like 28. Oh my God. He's got 8 grandkids and he's got 3 kids in their 20s or early 30s. Oh my goodness. He looks so young. It's like, what's your secret, mate? Because he's got great DNA. So when you age, it really depends on DNA. So if you look at your parents, that's how you're probably going to age. And we are kind of products of our parents, whether we like it or not. My mom and dad were like Hollywood superstars, looked amazing all of their life. And my dad looked like Clark Gable and my mom looked like a Hollywood movie star. And she gave me that Hollywood glamour vibe from a young age to want to wear makeup. She was always with her curlers in. You know, like the Toey girls, they wear curlers and that my mom did that every day. Anyway, like with her net and her curlers, and she did her hair and makeup before she even left the house to go to the bus stop because my mom didn't drive. Actually, that's a weird thing. I forgot. Yeah, my mom didn't drive. So when we used to go on our little day trips, once or twice a year, we were so poor, we'd have like a day out in Blackpool or wherever we'd go. And we used to get the coach and she was in full hair and makeup to get on the coach and people would look at her. And I'd see women give her a bit of a dirty look. I'm like, my mom's beautiful, leave her alone. Anyway, so yeah, my mom was always well groomed and turned out. And she used to be a ballroom dancer with my dad. So she loved all the Hollywood glam. And at Christmas, we'd watch Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz, Elvis, I love Elvis, Marilyn Monroe. So I was fed a diet of movies from Hollywood, Bette Davis, Marilyn Monroe, Elvis, and some others that I've forgotten about. And Judy Garland. And I would always look at them as my role models. And then later in life, it would be like Barbie, obviously. But I think Pamela Anderson as well. So I want to do a podcast about the beauty of Pamela Anderson because I was inspired by another YouTuber who does their anti-aging skin secrets for 50-year-old women. I can't remember her name. I'll write it down. I'll give credit to everyone that I get inspired by in my next podcast. Again, I don't do it in order. I'll talk about it in a future podcast. But these ladies are like so inspirational. One of them did a podcast on Pamela Anderson and whether she should have not wore makeup for that fashion show she was at. I think she was Pamela Anderson last year. One day was in Paris for a fashion show and she was doing her own hair and makeup. And there's a lady who does her hair and makeup. Is it Vogue? I can't remember the name. Again, I'll get all the names and I'll write them down. So the Pamela look for Pamela Anderson's Playboy covers and stuff was done by one particular makeup artist. And I think I will do a video on her. She's amazing. So she does the smoky eye. She does like 4 categories of how to do your eyes to get the Pamela Anderson effect look and the lips, about overlining the lips, which is what I do. But Steve's always going, don't overline your lips. I'm like, okay. But I still do it. So here we go. We're just having chit chat about anti-aging secrets. Sugar is the biggest enemy. So sometimes you've got to give yourself that mantra as well. Like, I know those chocolates are calling out my name, but I can't do it. Okay, so we are getting very close to the last 7 minutes of the podcast. It's going to be an hour. I'm just going to say thank you for listening. I'm not finished yet, guys. Don't switch off. So I'll talk about my hair and my face makeup because I will be doing a future podcast in January about that as well. So I want to talk about Pamela Anderson not wearing makeup in the next video. And I'll talk about my makeup secrets and how I've always been inspired by Pamela Anderson, the Baywatch look and her Playboy covers, the smoky eye, the nude lip and that kind of rock chick Barbie look. For me, Pamela Anderson was always a Barbie, even though she might not admit it. She was always a Barbie girl, but a rock star wife kind of Barbie girl. And I love the rock chick Barbie look as well. Obviously, I've not had any tattoos. I was so tempted to do it, but I'm not. I might do. I wanted one on my wrist, but we'll see. We'll see. Angel wings, butterfly. Who knows? But my eyebrows are tattooed. My eyebrows. Where did that come from? My eyebrows are tattooed on. In 2011, I got an Essex beautician to tattoo my eyebrows, because that's another thing that Pamela Anderson did. She took out her own eyebrows, and she's got hardly any eyebrows. She always had a very authentic thin brow, which was almost like the Marlene Dietrich. I'll talk about my eyebrows on another podcast. Let's all hail to Rachel's tattooed eyebrows. It was semi-permanent ink, but I asked her to use the darker ink because previously, I've got pictures, I will find them, where my eyebrows turned orange and it was like an orange line. It was disgusting. I hated it. I was like, never again. Don't use that brown ink. Anyway, so I went to Essex, is the best place because I used to live there, obviously. And I got this lovely lady. I think she was from China or Thailand, and they are so into the brows. They were the first ones, I think, or Korea. I can't remember. So anyway, sorry about this, guys. I'm really bad at my geography. But she was, I've got pictures, actually. I'll put them on the next podcast. She tattooed my eyebrows on and made them perfect. And they do not discolor. They're like a dark gray black. And they've lasted since 2011, guys. I know. I should go and pay her a visit. Anyway, so my Botox gives me an eye lift as well, because I use Botox for vanity to iron out my forehead wrinkles, but I use it for my migraines. But oh my God, Botox kills it. It'll just make it like a very humming in the background kind of headache. But I suffer from bad migraines, so I use Botox for that. Yeah, so so skin, hair and makeup. So I'll talk about my hair. I've talked about it. I've got this halo that I made myself. I sewed all my natural hair extensions together and put elastic. So the elastic comes from here to there. And it's better than the clips, because I was getting bored of the clips. I don't mind them being in, but this is so much better. So this January, what am I doing different to my anti-aging makeup and beauty? I am testing not wearing the fake lashes, which you can see my natural lash, guys. I don't know if you see that. Look at me Instagram, because I've got some pictures from yesterday on it. And I am doing less fake tan, because I've got nice creamy alabaster skin, but I just want like golden tan, because I've got translucent skin. See my veins? My face is a different color to my hands. And my hair, my makeup and my lashes. So I've ordered some lashes online, which are going to be not sponsored, Lashify types. I think it's from Dose of Lashes. Yes. And they're the ones, I'll probably do a tutorial on them, but I've never worn them because my eyes are very sensitive to the glue. So I'm growing my natural lashes back, and I'm wearing like the false lash mascara, like 5 or 6 layers of it. Just so that I give my lashes like a break. I'm going to see how long I can go. I want to do a whole 4 weeks with no lashes, just mascara, to see how my lashes grow. Cause when I was a bikini athlete, I used to never wear lashes. I used to be like, oh no, I don't like that. And I've got lovely long lashes. I want them back because they are quite short now, because I've been wearing strip lashes with glue, vegan glue, for many, many years. But I just want to give my lashes a break, and I'll start to buy this lash serum that my friend Tara's got. She's got rid of her lash extensions, because I use strip lashes so I can sleep 8 hours without, so my lashes can grow overnight. But most people who do the lash extensions, they've got that glue on, which lasts, what, a week or two, and you can't do steam saunas and all of that. And I'm like, I need to wash my face twice a day, morning and evening, and I want to clear my eyes. So for hygienic reasons, I'm not sure how long I put those lashes on, probably 2 or 3 days, because I watched a video from an ophthalmologist. Well, I said the word correctly. And she's like, don't put them on for more than 2 days. If you have to sleep in them, just do it once or twice. But most people like, oh, my girls in the clinic are wearing them for 7 days, some 2 weeks, and you can't clean the eyes and you get a buildup, then you can have an allergy. And my biggest fear is to have bad eye health. So I've got great eye health, touch wood. I wear my glasses. Do you want to see them, guys? My Versace glasses. And I don't want to get eye infections. I've got 2 minutes or 1.5 minutes of the podcast, and it's an hour. So I'll talk about my makeup in a future video, and we'll see how I go with the lashes. But right now, guys, this is the first podcast, the first video I've done in many, many years. I'm talking decades, where I haven't got my fake lashes on. Let me know what you think, guys. Woo-hoo. Yeah, we are coming up to one more minute. It's like the New Year countdown. I was with Steve New Year. It was amazing. I did mention that in a previous podcast, didn't I? It was so cool. We were having a cozy time. We were going to go away, but we didn't. And yeah, it was just great. And we're just into health and nutrition and training. And he's a big inspiration. He's my real life coach, Steve. Love you loads, mate. No, I shouldn't call him mate because we're kind of a little bit kind of casually seeing each other right now. We are best mates, but he is a big inspiration and he helps me a lot with my gym mindset, my training and everything. But we do pig out once a week if we go and see a movie. And I said to him New Year's Eve, I've got to cut the sugar. It's evil. He says, coffee's evil. I'm like, no, sugar's evil. Yeah. Okay. So in closing the parody podcast show hosted by me, Rachel Evans, aka the Human Barbie / Margot Robbie Barbie lookalike, I will say Happy New Year again because we are in January. And I'll try and get this edited and put out with magic clips where I put on Instagram little tasters so you can follow, like, and subscribe the Parody Podcast Show on Spotify Podcast and Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcast. In the meantime, sending you Barbie love and hugs, guys. Thank you for listening to the Parody Podcast Show. I love you loads. Happy New Year. Mwah. See you in the next podcast, guys. Bye.